passage this morning in Scripture comes from Luke chapter 2. We'll turn there. Let us remain standing for the reading of God's Word. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the lineage of David, to be registered with his wife Mary, his betrothed Mary, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in that same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring to you good news of a great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the sayings that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. It's the reading of God's word. Concerning what God had done and continued to do for them in sending his only Son, the Savior, who is Christ the Lord, the bearer, so that they might have certainty in what they believe. certainty that when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, who emptied himself, becoming as a servant, being born in the likeness of men, being born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law so that they might receive adoption as sons and daughters of God. Granting to all those who believe in his name the right to become children of God. Sending his own Spirit, the Spirit of his Son, into their hearts, causing them to cry out, Abba, Father. To call God their Father. The same Spirit of adoption who himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children. Heirs of God and fellow heirs of Christ. That they might have certainty about this. That by grace through faith in Christ, God takes away their guilt. Atones for all of their sins. And that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus. To be in his presence. God, out of love, pure love, gave us his only Son, that whoever so believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Be certain of this. That God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believed in him, those with whom God is pleased, might live before God and with one another in peace. Without fear. In holiness and in righteousness all the days of their lives. In peace, true peace. Not as the world gives, but as only the Savior, who is Christ the Lord, may give. This birth of Jesus, you see, came at a time of great peace throughout the Roman Empire. A peace for which Caesar Augustus was hailed as the Savior of the whole world. The whole human race. Because, as the quote goes, because land and sea have peace, the cities flourish under a good legal system, in harmony with the abundance of food, and there is abundance of all good things, and people are filled with happy hopes for the future and with the delight of the present. Praise Caesar Augustus. Peace. Even so far, they thought that Augustus' birthday was equivalent to the beginning of everything. As it were, a birthday of God himself. A Savior, as it were, for us and to those who come after us, to make war, to cease, and to create order everywhere. And you see, this is what Caesar Augustus did. This is the order and the peace that he brought to the Roman Empire. But it's a false peace. And in contrast to such worldly praises of Caesar Augustus for the false peace in which he secured for those over whom he ruled by exacting it from them by way of war and wielding of worldly power. One commentator put it as if a boot to their throat. You have peace. But my boot is over your throat. You do what I say, your peace will remain. And so he exacted this peace from those he ruled over. And in contrast to that, God sent his angels with good news of a great joy that would be for all people. Not just those favorable to God. But for all people. The birth of a true Savior in the world who is not by exacting it from them by force, but by purchasing it for them at his own cost. A truly counter-worldly peace, secured by radically opposite means of the world, the world's way of peace. As Jesus explained, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives to you do I give. And therefore you can also say, let not your hearts be troubled, and neither be afraid. I'm not exacting anything from you. I'm saving you. That's the peace Christ gives. The peace Jesus gives doesn't cost us anything. Nothing at all. He saves, as his Father anointed him to do. That is why he is called Christ. He is anointed by God to save his people. He is a Savior. Savior. And as their Lord, the Lord of his people, he exacts nothing from them for them. And yet he pays for it himself. Not with gold and silver, but with his own precious blood. Which is why his birth is announced as good news and a joy to all people. All people among every nation and every people of the earth, from the lowest to the highest. This is good news to all people, especially those of low standing and of little account, who live in darkness under the shadow of the world's peace. Those of whom it seems that everything is being extracted all the time and nothing, if anything, given in return. And in writing as he does of the person and the work of Christ, Luke wants those to whom he writes to be certain of these things. Be certain of these things. That's why he writes. And moreover, to be certain of who is truly sovereign, who is truly in control over all of these things. Recording as he does of God's purpose and Augustus' decree to get Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem, the city of David, in order to fulfill his promise that the Christ would be born there. Just as God promised, he would. Just at the time that God promised he would. She's 9 months pregnant before they leave Nazareth. Doesn't matter. She's going to give birth in Bethlehem. God decreed the means. And it just happened to be a decree by Caesar Augustus, in which Caesar Augustus was trying again to spread peace by issuing a decree to get taxes. God in his sovereignty, in his decree, used it in order to fulfill his promise that the Christ would be born in Bethlehem, in the city of David. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be a ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is of old, of ancient days. And therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor brother shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, and in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. The word of God for Micah, the last Old Testament prophet between the Old Testament period, before the birth of Christ. 400 years before the birth of Christ. The birth of the child in Bethlehem, the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord, the beginning of the fulfillment of God's ancient promise to his people among the Jews, and through this child to the families, all the families of the earth. To whoever among them believes. To such as these, Luke writes that they might have certainty concerning what they believe. And with certainty, peace. With God and with others. Not as the world gives by way of exacting it, but as only Jesus Christ himself may give by paying for it himself. The very holiness he calls his people to do. The very thing that his people often fail. See it throughout all the scripture. We were dealing with it in Isaiah before we came here to Luke during the Advent season. God's people had lost their certainty about God, the promises of God, the Messiah. And they had abandoned God's ways and turned the ways of the world to exact their peace. By the ways of the world, to the point where they were no different from the world. And God raises up Isaiah to send them to preach to them. It's the same story over and over again. And everything which Luke records of the birth of Jesus is a testimony to this counter-worldly peace, this way of counter-worldly peace, is a testimony in that it shows his association with the lowly of the world, from whom the world easily extracts whatever pleases them, whatever gives them peace. It gives little in return of anything. Such as the lowly estate of his parents, who were forced to travel to Bethlehem when Mary was 9 months pregnant, to their inability to find a place to stay, to the necessity of Mary giving birth in a stable made for animals. It's not the pretty little nativity stable that we see around Christmas time. This was this animal stable. You've ever been to a cow farm or something like that and gone in to where they do their the stable or they do the cow business? It's not a pleasant place. And unless you've done it for many years and you're accustomed to it, it's not a pleasant place. It's hard to tolerate. This was the type of place where Mary was forced to give birth. Lowliness. This association of the lowliness, the necessity of her giving birth in an animal stable, to the announcement of his birth only to a handful of lowly, no-account shepherds who were keeping watch over their flocks in the fields at night in the dark. Jesus magnificent association with those he came to save. And it's to such as these that Luke undertakes to compile this narrative of all of these things and much more, not only with one book, but two books, so that those who believe in Christ might have certainty. With certainty, peace, the peace of Christ, even here on earth, even in the midst of these lowly circumstances. We see in Scripture, as well as among ourselves, and at times even in ourselves, this tendency of uncertainty concerning the promises of Christ in whom we believe. Especially as we face trying circumstances in this life, that God sovereignly brings upon us in this life. Circumstances that are often beyond our control and our capacity to deal with, which can cause us to be fearful of what they will cost us, of what they will extract of us, tempting us, as always with God's people, towards worldly ways of securing our peace by exacting it from others. Seeking our lives only to lose them, as Christ would say. Instead of laying down our lives for his sake, in order that we might find them. And at the time of these events, as we mentioned, Luke records here in our passage this morning, Mary was 9 months pregnant. You can ask Chelsea about that here in a few more months, what that's like. Any mom in here knows what that's like. Any father in here knows what that's like. She was 9 months pregnant when a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. Each to his own town, which for Joseph and Mary, his betrothed, meant the mandatory 80-mile journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem in the 9th month of her pregnancy, which they knew could result in any number of costly scenarios. Of which delivering Mary's child in the dark, smelly animal stable at night because there was no place in the inn might be viewed as a favorable outcome. Trying circumstances for Joseph and Mary. And we are blessed by Luke's account of how they responded. For the peace which God gave them in Christ, which followed their response. For Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them at the inn. The cost for obedience to Caesar was great to Joseph and Mary. And the world offered them nothing in return, except the privilege of paying taxes, being registered to pay more taxes for the privilege of the peace of Augustus. And yet, not the smallest detail of these events fell outside of the sovereign providence of God, through which he was at work not only in their salvation, but the salvation of the entire world, of all those whom he was pleased and those who would believe, and even the redemption of the physical world itself, bringing to pass the birth of a Savior who is Christ the Lord in the city of David, just as he had promised.
knew concerning him with whom they believed. And the same could be said of the shepherds, leaving the flocks and traveled to Bethlehem to see a sign of which the angel told them could have been costly. They didn't tend their flocks by night for no reason. The cover of night, the darkness is preferred for predators, both animal and human and species. And yet it appears from Luke's account that there was nothing that could have stopped them from traveling to Bethlehem. Nothing that could have stopped them from upon seeing the child wrapped in swaddling cloths in an animal stable, from telling everybody what they were told about that child. And even though some listened with emotionless wonder, either positive or negative about what they heard, they were never once robbed of the peace that God had given them, because they also were certain about what they knew concerning him and whom they believed. Not those who looked on in neutral wonder, who those the humble means by which the child was born, to rob them, the shepherds, nor Mary, of God's peace. They were excited by the word of God. They were encouraged by the word of God. They exhorted and encouraged others on account of the word of God. They made haste to search and seek out what God had promised in the circumstances of their lives. They made haste, Luke says. They were aware of the peace of God. They were aware of the word of God. They glorified and praised God, irregardless of their circumstances, irregardless of what the world would cost them. They were certain about who they believed in. I've been talking with my wife a little bit this Christmas season, grumbling a little bit, perhaps. Her advice reminded me of the failure of being certain about him and whom we believe. Losing sight of that. And the danger of the burden, the ways of the world, the peace. And so we should ask ourselves, or ask you, the things that I ask myself. Does the gospel excite you? Does the word of God excite you? Does it encourage you? Do you exhort and encourage others on account of it? Do you make haste to search and seek out what God has promised from the circumstances, even the troubled ones of your life? Are you aware of, and do you testify to the fulfillment of such promises in the circumstances of your life? Do you go about glorifying and praising God for all that he has done, just as he promised? You see that in the circumstances of your life? Do you treasure these things in your heart? In the circumstances of your life? know, it may be because of a lack of certainty. Certainty concerning him in whom you believe. Luke's remedy is to restore that certainty. And to do so, as all the rest of the Bible authors recommend, but turning back to Scripture. Turning back to Scripture. Scripture is being wrote to the churches in Asia who are facing tremendous persecution and trying circumstances. You will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place. Until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. The great things I can rely upon, prophesying in the first chapter of Luke. Knowing first of all that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever prophesied by the will of man. But men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. You lack certainty, and you struggle with peace, and try and serve these things in life. The remedy is Scripture. Scripture, until the morning star, Christ Himself, rises in your heart and gives you His peace. And in closing, this you must understand that this peace of Christ, given by Christ, is not restricted to the last week of December. It's not still in a manger of a baby. It's when that child grown to a man, crucified, dead, buried, raised, ascended into heaven, sitting at the throne of God Himself. That's where this peace is. It is not to be relegated to the celebration of Christmas. This is a peace for all of life, every day of life, every circumstance of life, everyone. May God grant us the grace to return to Scripture. That's why it was given to us here, for our certainty in what we believe, that we might have peace in all situations, that we might serve God without fear in holiness and righteousness all the days of our lives. Every day. May God grant us this grace through His love and His peace in Christ. May He give us certainty in it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, your grace knows no end, no bounds. Your mercy extends beyond imagination, beyond our comprehension. And what you've given us in Christ Jesus, every blessing under the heavens, every blessing in all places. Everything to be found in Christ. The most precious is the peace that comes from knowing Him, in whom we believe, and being certain of these promises. Father, help us not to neglect and take for granted the gifts that you have given us, the means of grace and growing in the knowledge of Christ. The discipleship of the church, the fellowship of the church, the teaching of your word, the preaching of your word. Father, bless us in these things that we might have certainty and peace in Christ and not grow and not regress into the ways of the world as we see so many times of your people in the Scripture. Father, bless us that we might not regress, that we might not extract our peace from others, but instead follow our Lord and Savior, taking up our crosses, laying down our lives for the peace of others.